Together with me, would you read the sermon title from the screen? God got to us when he got with us. Taking our text from Hebrews 1, which reads, "In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets, at many times and in various ways. But now in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son, who is the radiance of his glory." As I mentioned at the beginning of the service, 4 days after Christmas, what is there left to say? Well, please listen to this quote from this Scottish preacher, James S. Stewart. Got it just for you, Everett. James S. Stewart, the Scottish preacher, says, "God could not get to us until God got with us." I'll make it even simpler. God got to us when he got with us. Would you say that with me? God got to us when he got with us. To get to somebody in the English language means to make an impact in their life, to make a difference in their life, to touch their heart. And really, this is the center of the Christian faith and the center of the Christmas message. Christmas means that God came personally to be with us. He no longer was going to use prophets or priests or kings or Levitical laws or temple sacrifices or rabbinical rituals. On Christmas Day, we mark the day that God came down to get the job done himself. Now, with your mind's eye, look inside that Bethlehem manger. What was in that Bethlehem manger tells the world there is no longer any need now for animal sacrifices from the Old Testament to give assurance of forgiven sin. Look inside that messenger, that manger. What does it say in John 1:29? "Behold, the Lamb of God who has come to take away the sin of the world." Christmas is a reminder that Isaiah could not preach our sin away, that Abraham could not sacrifice our sin away, that Jeremiah could not weep our sin away, that Moses could not command our sin away, that Miriam could not sing our sin away, that Daniel could not pray our sin away. Our salvation was finally secured when God took on human flesh. God no longer just spoke the word. He became the word. John 1:14 says of Jesus, "And the word became flesh and dwelt among us." Our salvation was finally secured when Jesus, God entered the trials and temptations and pains of our human existence, and he himself paid the penalty for our sin. Galatians 4, our reading for today, says this: "When the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem all of us who were under the law." Again, God got to us when God got with us. In that manger, the very presence of God came. The very presence of Emmanuel, God with us, was born on a stable. Did you catch that? Emmanuel was born in a stable that he might die upon a cross. The central theme of Christmas is not Santa Claus is coming to town, but the central truth of Christmas is this: God got to us when God got with us. St. Paul says the same thing in Philippians chapter 2 as it describes Jesus leaving the glories of heaven to be born among us. Listen to what Paul says: "Christ Jesus did not regard equality with God something to be grasped, But he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And in the book of Hebrews, we are told that Jesus did not enter human existence just to see what our lives are like. God already knew what our lives are like, sinful and self-centered. Or as the old writer Thomas Hobbes says, this is a description of our lives. Solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, and short. Jesus came to us to destroy the power of sin and death in our lives. Now, listen carefully to this next reading from the book of Hebrews. It so clearly explains why Jesus came. He himself became flesh and blood, that through his death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, that he might deliver from death those who were subject to this slavery all their lives. Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in every respect, to become a merciful high priest, to make payment for the sins of the people. Another way to say this is this. Read it with me one more time. God got to us when he got with us to take our place, to make payment for our sin, to die our death. Jesus became one of us. God could not perform this feat from heaven. Atonement and the shedding of blood could not take place in the glories of heaven. The penalty for our sin had to be paid in person by someone who could feel every sting of the whip, every pounding of the hammer, every horror of a nail through flesh on an old wooden cross. And do you recall from the Old Testament the Passover lamb that was slain for the sins of the people as they fled out of Egypt? That Passover lamb had to be a male, and spotless and without blemish. Only then could it truly be the sacrificial lamb. Well, Jesus is the sacrificial lamb for you and me. In fact, when John the Baptist first saw Jesus, his cousin, when he first saw Jesus, he gave him a title and explained the reason he came. John pointed and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Now, to be the perfect sacrificial lamb, Jesus himself had to be sinless, perfect, untainted by sin. And he was the unblemished lamb. Listen to what Hebrews 4:15 says. Jesus was tempted in all ways as we are, yet he was without sin. Christmas tells us that the precious baby in the Bethlehem's manger was indeed the Savior of the world, the sacrificial lamb, the payment for our sin, God in human flesh, God who got to us when he got with us. And why did he do such a thing? Didn't God have better things to do than take on human flesh? Why would he do such a thing? The 16th verse of the third chapter of John's Gospel tells us why. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." To love means to give. To love means to give the best you have. The biblical definition of love is this. Love is not a feeling. Oh, the palpitating of my heart. Oh, the moist hands because I'm so in love. The definition of love in the Bible is this. To give up my rights and even my life for the needs of others. And in all of literature, and here we come to the end of our sermon. In all of literature, there is perhaps no better illustration of this kind of self-sacrificing love than in Charles Dickens' wonderful book, A Tale of Two Cities. In this book, we meet two men, Two men, one an Englishman, one a Frenchman. Couldn't forget you, Gilles. Charles Darnay, the Frenchman, had been imprisoned and sentenced to death, and the next day he would have his head cut off by the guillotine. But his friend, the Englishman Sidney Carton, loves him and gets permission to visit Darnay in his prison cell the night before the execution. He surprises Darnay with a rescue plan. Carton will exchange clothes with Darnay, taking upon himself the rags of a condemned prisoner, and Darnay will then wear the proper clothes of his visitor. And that night, when the time of visitation was completed, Darnay will leave the prison in the clothes of a free man. And this is indeed what happens. And the next morning, Sidney Carton is led away to the guillotine to exchange his life for the life of his dear friend. And as he walks up the steps to the guillotine, he utters those famous words in all of English literature, "'Tis a far, far better thing that I do than I have ever done." And as you read this marvelous account, you cannot help but think of Jesus' words about himself in John 15, verse 13. "Greater love has no one than this, but to lay down his life for his friends. And you are," Jesus says, "my friends." This is indeed the Christmas message, every bit as true the Sunday after Christmas as it was 4 days ago. "For unto us is born a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Indeed, God got to us when he got with us. In the name of Jesus, blessed Christmas to you. Amen.